Evening, everyone. We're going to make a start just to our prayer meeting tonight. Anybody got a favourite hymn you'd like to sing? Shout out the number, please. 128 in your hymn book. 128 in your hymn book. 128. Enthroned is Jesus now upon his heavenly seat. The kingly crown is on his brow. The saints are at his feet. We'll sing the first verse and the third verse. Verses 1 and 3, along with the chorus, keeping our seats while we sing. 128 is the hymn number on the page 227. Sender. Six two five in your hymn book. 625, 625 in your hymn book. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. We'll sing the first and the last verse. Verses 1 and 3, keeping our seats while we sing. 625.
Thank you.
favourite from the far side over on the right. 587 in your hymn book. 587 in your hymn book. 587. Shall we gather at the river where bright angels' feet have trod, with its crystal tide forever flowing from the throne of God? We'll sing the first verse and the last verse. Verses 1 and 5, along with the chorus, remaining seated while we sing. For opening hymn tonight, 567, in the page 405, A Debtor to Mercy Alone, of Covenant Mercy I Sing, nor fear, with thy righteousness on my person, an offering to bring the terrors of law and of God, with me can have nothing to do, my Saviour's obedience and blood hide all my transgressions from view. And what a truth that is, what a comfort it is for us as the people of God, that our Saviour's obedience and blood hide all our transgressions from the view of God. And that's a great comfort, the great comfort of the gospel, something for us to rejoice in and confide in day by day as the people of God. 567, you're singing well there in those opening hymns. We'll stand this time as we sing, as the organist leads us, and singing it out with all of our hearts. Stand as we sing.
Oh.
just look to the Lord and unite our hearts together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we gather, Lord, before Thee this evening hour, and we come to Thee through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the One who died for us, the One who was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And Father, we thank Thee that He took the wrath of God that was our due. He took the punishment for us that we rightly deserve for our sins. And Father, we thank Thee that He died as our substitute. And Father, we thank that He paid the debt of our sin in full when He cried out on the cross, "It is finished." And Father, we thank Thee that He triumphed over death, over sin, over hell. We thank Thee that He rose again victorious, that He has ascended on high. And Father, we praise Thee and we thank Thee, O God, that there He lives to intercede and to pray for us as the people of God. And Father, we thank Thee for Christ our Redeemer tonight. We thank Thee for His precious blood that blots out all our sins. As the hymner said, "My Savior's obedience and blood hide all my transgressions from view." And Father, we thank Thee that tonight this is our portion in Christ. Each and every one of us tonight who are saved by the grace of God, we can rejoice tonight. We can take great comfort from the gospel that our sins are blotted out. Lord, You've said in Thy word, "As far as the east is from the west, so far hast Thou removed our transgressions from us." We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, that we are accepted before Thee as Thy children through the perfect righteousness of Christ, the One who is Jehovah Sekenu. And Father, we thank Thee that Thou art One who saves and One who keeps even unto life eternal. How the Apostle Paul could say to God's people, "He which have begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ." And Father, we thank Thee for that great hope we have as Thy people, that one day we shall be with the glorified spirits in heaven, and that we shall be with Christ forevermore, and we shall be like Christ forevermore. And Father, we thank that this is all of Thy grace, Thy goodness and mercy, that through the redemptive work of Christ, our dear Redeemer. And O God, our Father, as we come before Thee tonight, we pray for Thy blessing upon our coming together tonight. We realize, O God, that if we have not Thy blessing, our meeting will be in vain. Lord, You have said in Thy word that except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And we thank that the blessing of the Lord that it makes rich and that it addeth no sorrow thereto. And Father, we thank Thee for the promise of Christ when He said, "Where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst." And Lord, draw near tonight, we ask of Thee. Lord, abide with us, O God, we pray. Grant us a gracious, conscious sense of the presence and the nearness of the Lord. Father, close out all that is not of Thee. Thoughts of today and thoughts of yesterday, thoughts of tomorrow. Shut out everything that is not of Thee. Close us, Lord, in with Thyself tonight. Cleanse our hearts afresh, we ask of Thee. Make us every whit whole and pour out Thy Holy Spirit upon us, Lord. Outpour Thy Spirit upon us as we gather around Thy word. And Lord, as we gather around the throne of grace and prayer, we thank Thee for Thy word. And Lord, bless it to our hearts tonight. Help us to hide it in our hearts that we might not sin against Thee. May our hearts be open and yielded to Thy word and to what God the Lord would say. Help us to live out Thy word in our lives. And bless us also in our time of prayer. How we need Thee to pray, Lord. And Lord, we come to Thee like the disciples of old. And Lord, we would make it our prayer tonight. Lord, teach us to pray. And give us the burden of prayer, the spirit of prayer and of supplications. Lay upon our hearts those things that Thou would have us to pray for. We thank that there's nothing too hard for the Lord. You have said, "Call unto Me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Help us tonight to pray in faith, to pray with expectancy. Give us that holy boldness and earnestness in prayer, O God, that comes from Thee. And Lord, be pleased in Thy mercy. Lord, be pleased in Thy grace
to answer prayer for the glory, Lord, of thy name. We thank thee for all who have been able to come tonight. Bless every head bowed before thee, O God, we pray. Our faces differ, so do our needs. And Lord, we're asking thee to meet us at the very point of our need tonight. Bless every family that's represented. Meet the need of all our homes and our families and family circles. Unite them all in the Lord. Lord, we would make that joint prayer, as it were, for all our church family, that each family circle would be united in Christ. We thank thee that are able to do this. And Father, for Lord, other particular needs, whatever those needs are, come even tonight, Lord, and meet us at the point of our need. Remember, Lord, those unable to come tonight because of age and sickness and infirmity, Lord, bless them and minister to them by the grace of God. Others, Lord, because of other works of necessity and mercy who cannot attend, bless them also and minister to their needs. And those that are off on holiday at this time, grant them thy blessing and refreshment from the presence of the Lord. And for others, Lord, who have suffered loss in recent times, give comfort and grace and strength, we beseech of thee. Again, we thank thee for the meetings this week already. In McGuire's Bridge, we thank thee for the children that thou hast brought out under the sound of thy word. And Father, we pray that thou wilt speak on to these young lives, that thou wilt save each one of them. And those who are saved, that there'll be that growing in grace, that going on with God. Give help in the remaining meetings this week, Lord. Bring many more in under the sound of thy word. And give our sister that joy of pointing and leading little ones to the Savior. O God, we ask of thee. We think of many outreaches amongst the children at this time across our land. We thank thee for every faithful effort to reach children with the gospel. We pray that even over the summer season there'll be a great tide of blessing amongst the children of our land as they hear the word of God, as they hear the gospel. Lord, may many be made wise unto salvation. Remember other prayer meetings such as this. May your blessing be upon them, and other gospel missions and ministry meetings on at this time. May your hand of blessing be upon them also, we pray. And Lord, grant us in our land and in our nation at this time a time of reviving and refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Abide with us now, we pray. Do our hearts much good, we pray. And may we go home tonight rejoicing that we've met with thee, that we've heard thy voice, and that we've had the blessing of the Lord afresh in our hearts and in our souls. This we pray, and this we ask in our Savior's precious name. Amen. Returning, please, in God's word to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're reading from verse 13 of the chapter, going down just to the end of the verse 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, beginning a reading at the verse 13. When you're looking it up, we welcome all tonight in the Lord's good name. It's good to see all who have gathered this evening. Bid you welcome. Pray that God will bless you around God's word, around the throne of grace in prayer. Do remember the services here in the Lord's Day. Our brother, Mr. Colin Maxwell, will be ministering both meetings. So pray for him as he comes, that he'll know God's help and blessing in the ministry of God's word, and that even visitors and strangers would be gathered in even at this holiday season, and that it'll be a time of great blessing. Our brother Keith has also asked me to mention, we've been able to secure a stand at the Fermanagh Show, and that's on the 11th to the 12th of August, later on in the middle of August. Pray for that. It's a good opportunity for outreach, to reach out to the community with the gospel. But Keith has asked, if you have any old gospel DVDs and gospel messages from our services here, maybe other meetings as well, forward them on to him. He can use them in the stand. And then also Let the Bible Speak magazines as well. If you have any of those in your home and not being used, pass them on to our brother, and they again can be used on the stand during that time. So do remember that, please. Now we're reading tonight from 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, and beginning to read at the verse number 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 18. And may God add his blessing to this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. The text I want us really to base our message around tonight is that final verse there of the chapter, where it says, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Now, with these words here before us, the Apostle Paul was seeking to bring comfort to the heart of the Thessalonian believers. And this comfort from God's word was in relation to the sure and the certain hope of Christ's return, his coming again. In the day of the Apostle Paul, the Thessalonian believers, by and large, would have been those who would have been saved from a background of pagan religion. And these pagan religions, they offered no hope whatsoever after death. Indeed, the teaching of paganism is that death is the end of everything. And people, can I say that such false teaching still abounds today in our society in many different shades and in many different forms. And as a result of this false teaching that had been part of their past when they were unsaved, the Thessalonian believers, they were now concerned about those Christian loved ones who had already died. Their concern was that when the Lord would return, would those believers be disadvantaged who had already died and passed from this scene of time? And would the living believers have an advantage over those saints who had already died? Well, to alleviate and to remedy this fear of the Thessalonian Christians, Paul brings to them a tremendous message here at the end of this chapter regarding the return of Christ. And it was a message that was really to bring them great comfort and great solace in their time of anxiety. And this message, can I say, is important for you and I also tonight who are Christians. This is because the return of Christ is the great hope of the Church of Christ down throughout the ages of time. And as we would consider, I hope briefly tonight, this comfort of Christ's sure return, there are four things just I want to set before you from the passage that we have in front of us tonight. Notice first of all here the announcement of Christ's return. Look at verse 15 of the chapter. It says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now notice particular there in that verse, those words, by the word of the Lord. And then link them up to that phrase at the end of the verse where it speaks about the coming of the Lord. It says, by the word of the Lord, and then it links in with that phrase, the coming of the Lord. And here we see how the Apostle Paul, he tells the Thessalonian believers how God's word, the word of God, proclaims the sure return of Christ. And this reminds us as God's people that all that we need to know about the return of Christ and the coming back again of our Savior is found in the Word of God, is found in the Scriptures. And considering Christ's return, we're not to follow the philosophies and the thinking of sinful man, no. Rather, we are to heed what God's Word has to say to you and I on this matter. And indeed, throughout the Bible, God's word has much to say about the return of Christ, both in the Old Testament scriptures and in the New Testament scriptures. The writings of Paul and Peter and James all spoke of Christ's return. You think of Jude in verse 14 of that little book. He speaks of Enoch in the Old Testament time, even before the flood. And in speaking of Enoch, he says, "And Enoch also the seventh," that is the seventh generation from Adam, "prophesied of thee, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints." There he tells us away at the very beginning of time that Enoch preached and proclaimed the second return of Christ. Think of Job. Think of David. Think of Isaiah. Many of the prophets all spoke of Christ's return. And then when he was here on earth, Christ himself, he spoke on a number of occasions about his second coming. Think of those well-known words to us all in John 14 when he said to the disciples, "I will come again and receive you unto myself." Then one of his key discourses on the matter is found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. Perhaps we could just turn back to that chapter. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24. Just look at verse 3 and verse 4 of that chapter. Here with Christ sitting down on the Mount of Olives, and his disciples are gathered around him. And look at the question is asked, and look at the response of the Savior. Verse 3 of Matthew chapter 24, it says of Christ, "And he sat upon the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came unto him privately." It was, if you like, a private meeting with Christ. "And they came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And verse 4 says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you." And from that verse and from that question, what shall be the sign of thy coming, Christ answers that question. He takes up their question. He answers it particularly in Matthew chapter 24 and right to the very end of Matthew chapter 25. He told them many, many things there in those two passages in particular about his coming, about his return. And brethren and sisters in Christ, it's by reading the scriptures, by studying the scriptures, that you and I learn and are taught about the return of Christ. Yes, the announcement of Christ's return. Notice secondly tonight, notice the consolation of Christ's return. Look again at our text there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and the verse number 18. It says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." And here we see that the teaching of the scriptures regarding Christ's return, it is something that brings great consolation to the people of God. And one consolation is the fact that the Christians who have died in Christ, they are still united to Christ. As such, are not lost. And Paul emphasizes this in the passage before us. Look at verse 14 of the chapter. Notice what he says to them. He says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." And in that verse and in those final words of that verse, he's speaking particularly of those saints who have died in Christ. And when he talks here about them sleeping, he's referring in particular to their bodies that are in the grave, awaiting a glorious resurrection. And when he says, "them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him," in those final words in particular, "will God bring with him," in those final words, he refers there to the souls of those saints who have died. And when Christ returns, he will bring those souls with him. And they will be reunited with their glorified bodies when he raises their bodies from the dust. And child of God, when our saved loved ones die, yes, their souls depart their bodies. The Bible teaches that and tells us that. And immediately their souls go to be with the Lord in glory. The Bible says that they are absent from the body, present with the Lord. Philippians 1 verse 23 says that of the souls of our departed loved ones, our saved loved ones who have died, the Bible says that they are with Christ, which is far better. And when Christ comes back again, he will bring the souls of all his saved loved ones with him. And he is bringing them with him to reunite them with their glorified bodies, which he will raise from the dust of the grave. And such is the power of God in all of this, that 1 Corinthians 15 verse 52 tells us that this will all happen, the Bible says, in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye, as quickly as our eye will twinkle in a moment, this will all happen. Such is the power of God. And child of God, our consolation in all of this is that none of our saved loved ones and none of our saved friends who have died in Christ, that none of them are lost. At the return of Christ, they are still united to Christ. They still belong to the body of Christ, to the church of Christ. As it says there in verse number 14 of the chapter, that they are in Jesus, they are in Christ. In other words, they belong to the Lord. The consolation, yes, of Christ's return, the announcement of his return. Notice, thirdly here tonight, notice the resurrection at Christ's return. Look at verse 15 and verse 16 of the chapter. Notice what Paul says there. He says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Now the Bible shows you and I that there will be two resurrections whenever Christ returns. Yes, there will be the resurrection of the unsaved. Christ warns us and tells us about that in John's Gospel, chapter 5, and the verse 29, how they will be raised unto eternal damnation and eternal judgment. He says, "Such shall come forth unto the resurrection of damnation." And what an awful resurrection that will be for the unsaved. But then there will also be the resurrection of the believer unto eternal life, unto everlasting glory. And this is what Paul is specifically referring to here in verses 15 and verses 16 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Believer, yes, when Christ returns, he will cause all the dead in Christ. The Bible says here in the passage before us, he will cause all the dead in Christ, it says, to rise first. And in doing so, their bodies, yes, will be glorified and made incorruptible, made immortal, and their glorified bodies will be reunited with their glorified souls. This body and soul will be perfect, free from every trace of sin, every trace of corruption, every trace of death, and all that is associated with the curse of sin. Turning your Bible back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, which is really the great chapter on the resurrection, and go down to the end of that chapter, 1 Corinthians 15 and the verse number 51. And look at the words here again of the Apostle Paul as he speaks of this great event, the resurrection of the believer, and what a change, what a transformation will take place. He says, "Behold, I show you a mystery." This is something that's really a mystery to the ungodly. He says, "I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment." Notice it, in the twinkling of an eye. "At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, notice it, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What a victory that is. And this is the inheritance of all our saved loved ones. This is the inheritance of all our friends who have died in Christ. And what is Paul telling us here? He's showing us here that there is no power on earth. And there is no power in hell and all the works of darkness combined that can prevent or can stop this great event from taking place when the dead in Christ shall rise first and shall put on immortality and shall put on incorruption. And can I say that in this great event which is yet to take place when Christ returns, Christ is but fulfilling His own word, His own promise. Remember what He said to Mary and Martha? He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And that great promise of the resurrection will be accomplished to the last letter when Christ returns. Notice one final thought here in our passage before us tonight. Notice the great reunion. At Christ's return, there'll be a great and glorious reunion. Look at verse 17 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Notice what Paul says. He says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And then underline these final words, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Yes, the dead in Christ shall rise first, but also the souls and the bodies of the living believers, they will also be changed. They will be changed in a moment of time, changed in the twinkling of an eye, changed to perfection, to immortality and incorruption. Philippians 3 verse 20 and 21 says, we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. And that speaks of that glorious, miraculous change that will affect all the living saints when Christ returns. And Christ then will gather all His people, it says there, to be with Himself in glory, in the glory of heaven forevermore. He says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. If we are alive when Christ returns, then we too, it says here, shall be caught up into heaven with all the saints who have already died in Christ. And in heaven we shall be forever with the Lord. And in heaven we shall be ever, forever free. Free from all the curse of sin and the curse of death and all that that curse of sin has brought upon mankind, will be free from it forever and ever. Turning your Bible over to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Notice here how John speaks of this glorious event for the people of God in heaven, this glorious reunion where they're made free from the curse of sin and perfect like unto Christ. Revelation chapter 21 and the verse number 1. John says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. Look at verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Think of those words. Think of the things here on earth that cause us tears. And my, we could all write a long list of things that causes tears. But in heaven it says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, these words are true and faithful. And that's what lies before us as the people of God. Brethren and sisters in Christ, this is our great hope tonight. And can I say, this is the fruit of Christ's redemptive work for us on the cross. This is the fruit, the outworking of Christ's death on the cross for us as our Redeemer. Indeed, this is why all of us tonight who are saved can say yes with the hymn writer, that there will be no dark valley when Jesus comes, because of Calvary, because of Christ our Redeemer who paid the price of our redemption. Believer, you can look forward to heaven, and you can look forward to the glorious and the sure and the certain return of Christ. No matter what's going on in the world around us, and the world is given to change, remember this, that Christ is coming. And there's no power on earth, no power in hell that will stop that purpose. And all that Christ has promised to do at the return of Christ. Let us then as Christians rejoice in that hope day by day. I remember reading an old saying of a preacher many years ago, and it says, Live for the Lord today and look for his coming tomorrow. Look at the words of our text there. It says, Wherefore comfort one another with these words. This is something we're to comfort ourselves with and to comfort our fellow believers with, that Christ is coming. And what a great and glorious inheritance we have in Christ. Oh, let us rejoice in this. And as Christians, let us do all we can, God helping us, God enabling us, to point others to Christ for salvation, so they too be ready for the coming again of Christ, the Messiah. May God write his word and bless his truth to our hearts tonight. Well, turn again, please, just in our hymn book to the hymn number 151. 151, a great hymn about the return of Christ, when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright and fair, when the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. 151, we'll stand as we sing, and singing it out heartily unto the Lord.
The road is full.
Well, we'll just get down to our time of prayer. Encourage as many as possible to pray, to seek the Lord one after the other, one for another. Remember the children's mission and Maguire's Bridge. We thank the Lord for children that have been in already this week. Pray that others will come in as the week continues, and help will be given, and that souls amongst the boys and girls will be saved, and those who are saved will be blessed. Remember also the Bible Club plan for Lisbalow as well in your prayers at the end of July. Remember the services on the Lord's Day, our brother Colin bringing God's Word, and remembering his outreach as well in the South and the other visiting speakers during the holiday season. And then pray for the door-to-door outreach, the literature given out also. Last week the village of Arney was visited as well. Pray that God's Word there would speak in homes and in lives. Remember the convention. Encourage you to pray. Pray for the preachers. God will guide them, direct them, and that they'll know great help, and it'll be time of great blessing to all who will gather. The pews would be filled night by night, that people would come with that hunger and desire to hear the Word of God. Remember our missionaries tonight at home and abroad, and especially those laboring amongst the children. There's many efforts going on at this time to reach children with the gospel. We thank God for every faithful effort, and what a blessing that is to our province, and that children will be saved, brought into the family of God. Our sister Eileen is involved there as well in a children's club out of Taba this week. But value prayer for that as well, so remember that, please. Remember the sick as well. Sister Mrs. McMaster is ill at this time, and then remember the wife as well, of the Reverend Stephen Hamilton in America. Remember her in your prayers as well. And pray for our land and our nation, that we might see seasons of revival and refreshing from the Lord. But we'll just get down to our time of prayer. Maybe ask our brother Stanley to lead us.